by satellite. Coming to you in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain. But you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind. Driving you mad. You've been living in a dream world. This is the world as it exists today.
The only thing that restricts the activities of the surveillance state are policy. They'll say that because of the dangers that we face in the world, we need more authority. We need more power.
Surveillance is at an all-time high. The Constitution is being violated every day. Your gun rights are disappearing day by day. Learn how to fight back legally and responsibly. With your host, Steve Cates, on A Call to Rights. Call him now, 602-277-5369, or nationally, 1-866-536-1100.
So, as we set out to defeat the divisive forces that would take freedom away, I want to say those fighting words for everyone within the sound of my voice, from my cold, dead hands.
Here's your host, Steve Cates. Always refuse to be a victim.
And since this is the last Sunday of the month, this is not Steve Cates. This is Mayor Jeff Cerdy sitting in for Steve on what we call the Second Amendment Show. We actually have Steve out on assignment, and he's going to be calling in the second segment. He is down at the Crossroads Gun Show, so we're going to ask him some questions, and we're going to see what he has got going down there. And we're joined with a special guest today, and her life is like she's halfway on her way to having her own TV movie so far. We're here with State Representative Kelly Townsend from my own District 16, and I'm going to give you a little bit of background on Kelly. Her husband was killed in a tragic helicopter accident years ago, which left her with some young children and whatever, and did she just... throw up her arms and quit? No, she went out and became, she ran for the state Congress and won, and the rest has been history. I'll tell you how well she's doing for the conservative side. She gets regularly attacked by Bram Resnick and Larry Gatos, so you know she is doing the right thing. She is definitely on the right side of conservative constitutional issues. So, hello, Kelly.
Good morning. Thanks, Jeff, for having me on, and I am very glad to be on this show and not the Gatos show.
Yes. So before we're done, and of course we're going to have the last two segments, we'll be able to talk about what you've been working on, what's going on, maybe some insight into the workings of the State House of Representatives. And of course, we're not doing this as a campaign appearance, but you're actually termed out. You're going to be running for the State Senate.
That's correct.
And you've got all the way up. You're the whip now, right? Or
the last term I was in leadership, I was the majority whip. Right now, I'm the elections chair.
Okay, and you just had some little bit of a hectic meeting in one of your committees, right? Where some a group came in and tried to take over your meeting. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, it's not the first time that this group has taken over meetings, and I knew very well what their intentions were. The week prior, they had tried to do it to Senator Eddie Farnsworth unsuccessfully. They were removed from his committee. I knew that that was to be expected in the committee that I was running last Tuesday. The gentleman in question spent the entire time in the back of the room kind of bouncing up and down on his toes, getting himself ready for whatever it was he was going to do. And, of course, when he did come up, the meeting did devolve into chaos. However, just like Eddie Farnsworth, I did not allow it, and we took care of the situation.
And you mentioned the word chaos, and that seems to be the way that the anarchists, the socialists, the Democrats work. They just rely on chaos. They are not polite and cordial like the Republicans and conservatives are. So since we were here last time, the big news was what was going on in Virginia. And Governor Northam had a total beatdown in Virginia. He had tens of thousands of armed Second Amendment positive protesters marched on the Capitol. Of course, there were no incidents because we are very polite and cordial, and we, you know, an armed society is a polite society, and some of the Democrats there backed off, and that all of those nasty things were defeated, and they're not going to come up for a vote. Now, what you can't do is rest on our laurels, because they'll come right back. They'll change a few words here or there, thinking that everybody forgets, and they'll bring it right back. And I think the same thing is going to happen in Arizona, because and Kelly Townsend is, of course, she talks with the Arizona CDL a lot. And if you don't know what the Arizona CDL is, they're a pro-Second Amendment group that they're who write a lot of the pro bills for us, and then they get championed by folks like Kelly. And we're also proud to announce that every anti-Second Amendment bill in the state has been shot down as well. Is that correct?
That's correct. Both anti-Second Amendment bills from the Democrats and from a couple Republicans.
Yeah.
Yes, going nowhere.
So the really insidious one, 1625, has been shot down. And I'm surprised that Representative Rios, or Senator Rios, she's from a rural community. She used to be pro-gun, but she introduced this. I was really surprised in her. But it was just testing the waters, just to see how we'd react. We reacted overwhelmingly. I mean, social media was covered with how can this even get introduced in Arizona. But this shows how important local elections are, because we have a little bit of a majority now. We need a bigger majority to make sure that stuff like this doesn't come up again.
That's correct, Mayor. And it's a little frightening when you think about it, because they are giving us a preview of what would happen if they do get the majority. And, the governor has said no red flag laws while he's in office. And I hope that's the case, because if we lose the majority in the House and the Senate in 2020, we're going to have to rely on him to keep his word, because the Democrats are going to, that's the first thing they're going to do, is try to impose red flag laws. And as you've seen, the other things that they're trying to do as well.
And that's why the governorship is so important also, that even if we do lose the House and Senate, but we retain the governorship, we can still always veto crap like this if it ever does get passed. But let's not take a chance on it. Let's not let it get passed.
That's right.
So one of the things I was wondering is, when 1625 got introduced, where did it come from? How is it backed? And what was their all? They knew it wasn't going to pass. Were they going after some other people? Was it aimed at Martha McSally? Was it Bloomberg money? What do you think on that?
Well, I can only guess. I mean, we can only speculate. I don't want to try to think like a Democrat. So, I think there has been several shots across the bow. There's been several comments about when we take the majority in the next term, and we're going to be in the speaker chair, and all these supposed scenarios. So this is yet another shot across the bow, and it's a little frightening, because there was a very similar bill to 1626, Senate Bill 1164, ran by the Republicans, same bill. A little bit different, but essentially the same thing, stop orders, which is red flag law. So it's not going to take much to where they're in power, whether it's through the majority by having a couple of Republicans join them, or just taking over the entire majority of the House and Senate. We really have to be diligent. So the conversation shouldn't be necessarily about these bills. It should be about how do we get out and make sure we get more seats back, the Republicans, what districts. How can we do that? And that's what we really need to be talking about right now.
And I can't figure out why a Republican would introduce anything close to be an anti-Second Amendment. I guess they come from the Romney/Flake-McCain branch of the party, and you just can't give in, because they won't stop. Everybody always tries, well, we'll give them this, we'll give them background checks, we'll give them this, and then they'll leave us alone. They won't. They'll just keep right on going. They have a long-term plan of, once they get this, they'll go after another one and another one. Another tactic is, try for 20 things, and we beat down 18 of them. They get two of them through. We act like we won, and they act like they lost. But behind the scenes, they're glad, because they got two of those 18, 20 through.
That's right. There's that spaghetti against the wall kind of approach, and there's also the I would liken it to the terrorism that happens over in the Middle East. If you can be as obnoxious and scary as possible, you stop the things that you don't like, and that's what they're doing. They are causing these disruptions, which is killing good bills because some Republicans are afraid to confront that and afraid to stand up to it, and so good stuff dies.
Of course, that might
be a little controversial.
So if you just joined us, this is Mayor Jeff Cirtie sitting in for Steve Cates on a call to rights, and we're joined with Representative Kelly Townsend from District 16, and she is always the tip of the spear on conservative issues in our Arizona House. And what we always say here is local elections are so important. You know, even if we lose the governorship or the presidency, we still are here. So we're looking forward to a call in from Steve, our gracious host. Steve is down at the gun show, so we'll be back in about 2 minutes after this news break. Looking forward to call in from Steve.
Welcome back to A Call to Rights, a show that encourages you to never be a victim, because a victim is someone with no options. Visit with us now as we investigate those options with guests from around the world. Get your calls in now, 602-277-5369. And now, here's your host, Steve Cates.
This is Mayor Jeff Cirtie of Apache Junction sitting in for Steve, who graciously lets us take over this airways the last month, the last weekend of every month. And Steve, who is also Dr. Sky, you may know him more from that, he is someplace very special right now. Steve, are you on the line?
Yes, good morning, Jeff, and thank you so much for filling in today. What a beautiful place to be celebrating our freedoms and our Second Amendment rights as we're down here at the crossroads of the West Gun Show. But, Jeff, I want to thank Representative Kelly Townsend. Kelly, I know you and I know each other for years, and I haven't spoken with you, but I just want to say thank you for what you do to keep Arizona on the right side of the railroad tracks, conservative and constitutional. So thank you, Kelly, for what you do.
You bet, and likewise, sir.
Yeah, and it's a long drive in from the East Valley into the studio, so I appreciate her coming in as well.
Absolutely, Jeff. And, you know, there's so much excitement here, and I know you're no stranger to this, Joe, and appreciate what you do again to help fight for our Second Amendment rights, not only, of course, at your store, which people really need to go and see if they're looking for some great deals on firearms.
Yeah, we have a whole line of Trump hats in there right now.
Awesome stuff. But, Jeff, you know, I'm just kind of surveying some of the folks here about what they feel politically. And a lot of the people are telling me, yeah, they hope that Bernie Sanders is the Democratic nominee, just like I do, because Trump will excoriate this guy. I mean, it'll be a tongue-lashing like never seen before. But what I think really needs to be discussed, and I gather you guys will be discussing this in greater detail than just my little segment here on the show, is that why in God's name would people think that this is an answer to their prayers? I mean, look at what socialism has done to Venezuela. Look at the problems that socialism has created around the world. Even though Bernie doesn't declare himself officially as that or that as a communist, I just don't understand it. So let's hope that Bernie Sanders is the nominee. Don't you think, Jeff? Wouldn't that be an easy one?
I agree,
one for Trump,
yes.
Too?
And also look at wherever socialism like Venezuela has got a toehold, they've always given up their guns first, and then you have to fight with your guerrilla tactics to get back out of it.
Yes, and it's amazing. And, you know, just surveying some of the folks here about SB 1625, I guess your guest and, of course, our good friend Kelly Townsend, she knows so much about it. And, you know, I just never imagined, Kelly, I really want to throw this back to you. We understand that 11 other Democrats, of course, supported this with Rebecca Rios in the Senate. But how would they even think this thing would ever get altitude? And I'm just wondering, tell us in some more details, is it officially doomed? And that's what we hope for all Second Amendment lovers. Tell us a little story about that, because I think that's important to hear.
Well, thank you. And I know in my heart 100% that they knew that the bill was not going to make it anywhere. I'm surprised it actually even got assigned to committee, but it did get assigned to the right committee where it needed to be, and that was with Senator Eddie Farnsworth, and he is one of our strongest legislators down there. And he did not even give it a hearing, as he shouldn't have. So it's dead in the water, and it never stood a chance. But what the purpose of doing that was a shot across the bow. They honestly believe that they are going to take over the legislature in 2020. Now, will they do that? Very possibly. If we don't get out there and help the candidates like Anthony Kern in District 20 and Kate Rofi McGee out there in 28 and, you know, in District 18, we have to regain some of our seats. And they've gotten too cozy in suggesting that they are going to be in the majority next time around. And if they are, you know, and if we didn't get out there and make sure we protected our majority, we won't be able to complain when this happens.
Kelly, that's amazing work. And again, you know, I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for doing what you do there. But I just want to make this pitch, Jeff, too, and I think this is so important. We have Dan Schultz call up a lot. He's a good friend of ours. He's an attorney. He's a good friend of constitutional conservatism. And his point very simply is this. More and more people need to become precinct committeemen. And he's talking about how many unfilled seats there are here in the Valley. And I think that's so important. But, Kelly, I just wanted to get your take on simply the importance of becoming a precinct committeeman. And, again, it should be called precinct committee woman, too, not just precinct committee men. But just go on that role because, I mean, on that theme, because isn't that the most important thing of how to change elections and keep them the way we want?
Thank you. And I won't spend too much time on it, but Republican women don't care about being called precinct committee women or men or whatever. It's just we need to get out there and be precinct committee warriors, right? And we need to make sure that it's the most powerful position in anything in politics. John McCain spent big money making sure his people got elected as PCs. We call them PCs. And you can do it, too, to the listeners out there. You don't have to do a ton. Just the mere fact that you're signed up, if you're a conservative, you're holding a conservative vote, you can give your proxy to somebody, and they can go vote for you. Or you can go all the way to the national convention if you get that far and be a delegate for voting in the president and everything in between, knocking on doors, making sure people vote. And whatever your comfort level is, it puts you in with like-minded people, support, show you what to do, how to be the most effective. It's very powerful. And there's a website, www.bapc.com. It'll tell you all about it.
Absolutely, Kelly. And I think that's great. And I think, Jeff, we should do this again with Kelly in the near future because I think it's so important. There's an answer for everybody listening.
Yeah.
If you're really going to complain and you're not doing anything about it and just think other people are going to lift the heavy load, right, Jeff?
Well, we have turned up the pressure. Just look at in 2016, Trump got criticized for having almost no ground game at all in Arizona. And this year, there are Trump rallies and there are Trump groups out in Apache Junction. We have the Ladies for Trump who are just awesome. And I hope they're listening today, Sherry and everybody.
Yep.
So, and everybody, they're having to almost turn people down. They've got so many people that want to join and they were ushers at the Trump rally this last time. So we're ahead of the game last time. So, but you know, Bloomberg's going to come in and spend money. Even if he loses, he's going to continue to pump money into him and Steyer both. Will pump money into whoever is the nominee. So you've got to beat them back, and we've got to keep the Valley, and then we need to take back Tucson too. We don't have to consider that Tucson is a lost cause, but in many ways they are. So let's
say you well, Jeff, and I just wanted to wrap up here because I know the heartbreak comes rapidly here, and I just wanted to mention something else. That Arizona Citizens Defense League, obviously you folks have been talking about that. Follow their track of legislation on things and issues because it's so important for people to hear this, and I think that's a very, very important thing. Get a lot of education, folks. I mean, obviously, Jeff, you know I do firearm training. I've been doing that for so long, but there's so many wonderful instructors that are out there in today's world. Just get the education because you never know, folks, what might happen if you're ever in a situation where you need to have your firearm. You use it according to the Arizona laws for justification for deadly force, so you know a little bit more about it. Don't let the media sway you into thinking that you don't need to get a concealed carry permit. It's always good to have the education. But Jeff and Kelly, I'm obviously stating the obvious here, which is so important. And Jeff, you know, it's interesting because I appreciate what you do on this radio show. That's fourth Sunday. You know, it's not often that you get an astronomer person, an astrophysics guy that spends time in the right side conservative world. There's hardly any of the scientists on this side of the equation, but not all are like that. But I do a lot of the things around the country and around the nation, as you know, with my other programs. But I really appreciate the opportunity, hey, not to take away from your time behind the microphone. I appreciate what you do, Mayor Cerdy. Kelly Townsend, thank you for fighting for Arizonans.
Steve, real quick, I know Sunday's not as big a day at the gun show as Saturday, but did you get a chance to walk around? Or are there a lot of pro-Second Amendment candidates
there? We're going
to.
We're going to spend time. And by the way, we're doing an AR-15 seminar for anybody who's listening here at 12:30. We're going to be doing that outside, you know, just to the left of where the main gate is, and that's something we provide to the citizens of Arizona. Understand that it's America's rifle. It's not an assault rifle. It's America's rifle, Armalite rifle, as you know, Jeff and Kelly.
But in the last segment, we're going to talk about a church in Pennsylvania that has really incorporated the AR-15 into their philosophy. If we get a chance, we're going to talk about that.
There you go. Well, thanks, Jeff. Hey, thanks for filling in, Kelly. God bless you, and thank you for what you do, and let you guys go back to carrying on the Call to Rights tradition here. We do appreciate that. And always great guests, as people know. You know, we're going to have some amazing guests coming up in the month of March. We'll also be going over to the Luke Air Force Base Air Force Show. We'll be doing that and talking all about that. We'll give our listeners an opportunity. As Steve Cates always says, always remember, freedom's not free, and always refuse to be a victim. Because what's a victim, Jeff? Simply someone with no options. Always fight back legally and responsibly. Thank you, Mayor Serdi. Thank you, Kelly Townsend. And here we go for more on the Call to Rights Radio Show.
Okay, and we'll be looking for, we want to take some calls in the next two segments too, and you can call in at 602-277-5369. You can talk to Mayor Serdi or, Representative Townsend here. So Kelly, we talked about the CDL and we've beaten back all of the, bad legislation, but there are still, I think there's some pro Second Amendment, bills in the works, and hopefully Doug Ducey doesn't, veto them like they've been known to do.
Well, bringing that up, you know, the
1 minute. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he has said that there's been several that he has passed since he's been there. So I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt and hope that he does go ahead and sign those.
And one of the bills they talk about school safety, where from our point of view, school safety is getting some armed defense into these schools. I would like to see a school resource officer into every school in Arizona. We talk about having this $1 billion surplus. Well, that's not the governor's money. Let's give that back and get it out there. So we're up against a break, so we're going to come back. We're going to be with Representative Kelly Townsend. This is Mayor Jeff Serdi sitting in for Steve Cates on A Call to Rights, the Second Amendment Show. We'll be right back after this news break.
Welcome back to A Call to Rights, a show that encourages you to never be a victim, because a victim is someone with no options. Visit with us now as we investigate those options with guests from around the world. Get your calls in now, 602-277-5369. And now, here's your host, Steve Cates.
And if you've been listening, you know that this is not Steve Cates. This is Mayor Jeff Serdi of Apache Junction sitting in for Steve. And I'm also the owner of AJI Sporting Goods, what a gun shop should be out in East Mesa, Signal Butte and Apache Trail. And we're sitting here. We've got Kelly Townsend. We've got a very special guest. One of the things that Steve does is he always comes out of each break with a profound quote. I don't have the exact verbiage on this one, but it's about the Second Amendment. And the Second Amendment does not give us the right to bear arms. What the Second Amendment does is it forbids the government from taking our right to have firearms. So remember that. We already have that right. It restricts the government. It does not restrict us. So, Kelly, we recently had our own march down at the Capitol, our Second Amendment rally, and it was big because people, 1625 got everybody stirred up. You had the opportunity to speak there. How did that go?
I was so happy to see everyone come down, and you know, it's too bad that we have to activate like this because Democrats are trying to give us this warning of what their intentions are. But the public responded, didn't they? They showed up. They said, "Not on my watch, and not in my Arizona," and they represented that day. That was good.
And the media, of course, never covers it the way they should. We think there were between 3,000 and 4,000 people down there, all armed, no issues. But then there'll be 10 to 15 reverse protesters, and they're the ones that get on TV and make it look like they really have a bigger following than they really are. But that's not the way the media portrays us. Speaking of media, Mayor Bloomberg is blanketing our state with ads, and in those ads, it talks about how he wants to come after guns. I don't know why he thinks that would be a good idea here in Arizona, who year after year we get voted the most gun-friendly state in the country. So I'm glad he's running those ridiculous ads.
It just shows how out of touch he really is. And another example, you know, on the corner there in your town in Apache Junction, on the corner of Idaho and the Apache Trail, we have the Apache Junction Women for President Trump, and they come out every weekend, and I've joined them, and we wave flags for Trump. We wave at the people going by. It's always a big presence. This morning I was driving through, and what did I see? Three tiny little signs that said Bloomberg 2020. And, you know, that is a very symbolic of our president right now. He's just explosive in popularity. And then you have a tiny little sign, Mr. Bloomberg, trying to be relevant and just does not get Arizona.
So Mini Mike has many signs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, of course, signs are not supposed to be out in the public easement until about May, which is 90 days before the election. You can have signs up on private property now, but not out in public yet. And, also, in those ads, you know, don't forget that Mark Kelly has his whole claim to fame the last few years has been the leader of an anti-gun right. So his ads are coming out now. They're very positive. They're not saying anything about that. And just remember that whenever you see Mark Kelly, he is about as anti-gun as you can get. And we have our first caller. We have Mason from Glendale.
Nathan.
Nathan, I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right. Besides the legislation, liberals and closet liberals like my mom will use the mental health and the judicial system. They'll abuse it, and there's no checks and balances for it. I was homeless for about 8 months, and they consider you automatically crazy while you're on the street. What led to that first? And by the way, I have a concealed weapons permit in the state.
That's great.
And right now, because the state put me on court order treatment and then they reevaluated me while I was in the hospital saying I don't have a mental disorder. So you made a sane person crazy and you made a gun owner a prohibited possessor by abusing first trying to have to call the cops and have me arrested and moved off the property despite the fact that I was a tenant, committed no crime. Then they put a mental health petition on me. I spent 6 days in CBI and being evaluated. And I come back. And the old man, they drive me back to the house. The old man screams, "Do you have any guns on you? Do you have any guns on you? Do you have any guns on you?" Like, I don't have to answer that question.
That's true.
And he screams, "Well, then I'm going to call the cops again." I'm like, "Go ahead, call them again. They're going to tell you the same thing. Still won't matter."
And there again, this is why local jurisdictions are so important. In most cities,
local jurisdictions are screwed up. Then he screams, "Well, then I'm going to petition to throw you in the mental institution again and again and again and again until whatever it takes to get you out of town."
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if you're the sheriff in Tucson is going to treat you differently than the sheriff in Pinal County. We have a very pro Second Amendment sheriff.
This was Maricopa County. This happened in Mesa.
Exactly. And who do we have as sheriff now? We have someone who's from the opposition party, and they're not pro Second Amendment. That's why these local elections are so important.
Then I got arrested on the street while I was homeless, and got charged with assault. Then they took my gun rights away and put me, and at the same, the Mesa police at the same time threw me in the nut. Looney bin again. They thought the two petitions were related, and so they charged me with assault and put me on court retreat or forced drugging for a year. This is how people abuse the system and take your rights away. And there's no check and balance.
And there are some groups out there that would represent and try to get your rights back. And I know some of those folks. And it's unfortunate that has happened, and it shouldn't happen. Just because you don't have a place to sleep does not mean you lose your rights. So,
I have a place to sleep now for the moment, but I mean, I'm sitting on a collection of over like $2,000 in handguns and suppressors. I not only have to right out the probation, I somehow have to figure out how to go to a Superior Court judge to get my gun rights restored.
All right.
That will be a miracle in itself.
Well, we're glad to hear from you. But okay, so we want to get on to Representative Townsend, get some of her thoughts on this, and I will insert also that the system will work. For instance, down in Tucson, the person that ended up shooting Gabby Giffords, he should not have had a gun. The warning signs were there. They allowed that to happen, yet they'll take the rights from someone like Nathan who shouldn't have. Kelly.
Thank you, Mayor. And I think about this, and when you consider who's going to be the decision makers in this, a lot of the psychologists, they're university trained, aren't they? And we know our universities and the state of them right now are very liberal. And the chances of having someone who is anti-gun evaluating you already sets up a bias and a preconceived idea of who you are and what you're going to do. The judges, many times we've seen the activist judges. So it's a little concerning about what happens to somebody when they get pulled into this. On the other side of the coin, we do need to make sure that people who are dangerous don't harm others. So it's a balancing act, but the first thing we need to always remember is that people's fears do not trump other people's rights. And, so go ahead.
And this is why those red flag laws can be so insidious, because mm-hmm. who gets to be the decider? Someone who's not elected, they're appointed judges usually, and a judge in New York or New Jersey is going to rule differently than a judge in Arizona or Utah or Alaska. So they should not have the right to take away your Second Amendment rights. So that's why we can't let these red flag laws get a toehold. So we're almost out of time on this segment. I want to talk about something that I recently was able to sign a proclamation honoring Vietnam vets. All of the month of March is dedicated to Vietnam vets, and I believe it's March 29th. But on March 21st at the Mesa Marketplace Flea Market, there's going to be a pinning ceremony. I'm sorry, I don't know what time of day, but that'll be a really worthwhile event to go to. A lot of these folks did not get honored when they came back. That's why they have these pinning ceremonies now. It's kind of retroactively honoring them. So all you Vietnam vets out there, next month is your month, and we'll definitely want to recognize you.
And Mayor, may I say to them, welcome home.
Kelly, when were you in, and did you get deployed overseas, or did you?
So when I was in the Navy, it was 1988 to 1992, and I was in combat duty, working with aircraft, and I was a mechanic on F-18s and F-14s, and at that time, women could not be in combat duty, I should say, on a ship, so I was not able to be deployed on a ship, so I was actually in real tough duty 11 miles north of Malibu.
Okay.
So.
Well, we still appreciate your service.
Thank
and
you.
In the same situation now, you might have been deployed. So.
Absolutely. And I was ready to do it. I wanted to go. Mm-hmm.
Even though we're all backing President Trump for bringing our troops home from these places that they really shouldn't be. You know, let's bring them back here. He's getting criticized for shifting funds to the border. How more of our national defense if you're defending the country? So yes, let's do secure that border.
I think the most important thing we need to look at right now, you know, we have things going on around the world, but the cartels are the ones that we need to focus on, and we can help Mexico do that so people aren't trying to flee that area.
All right, we're up against the break. This is Mayor Jeff Surdy and Kelly Townsend. We're sitting in for Steve Cates on A Call to Rights. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Look for a last call, and we got some other things to get in there. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to A Call to Rights, a show that encourages you to never be a victim, because a victim is someone with no options. Visit with us now as we investigate those options with guests from around the world. Get your calls in now, 602-277-5369. And now, here's your host, Steve Cates.
This is Mayor Jeff Surdy of Apache Junction, and we don't have a guest from around the world. We have a guest from around the corner. We're joined with State Representative Kelly Townsend. And not only am I the mayor of Apache Junction, but I'm also the owner of AJI Sporting Goods. If you've never been in, we have more stuff in there than you will believe, and it's what a gun shop should be. Prices are still down. We're now going into our fourth year of Donald Trump. AR-15s, brand new, under $500. And a lot of new models have come out in Springfield and Smith, which means that the old models are now even less expensive. So now's the time to stock up. Don't wait until some bad legislation comes and have a run. You should already be stocked up now. One thing, there's an interesting situation going on around the world, and that's China. Now, of course, our guns are not made in China or our ammo, but a lot of the nylon gear, a lot of eye protection, hearing protection, that's all made in China. And we're being warned to stock up now because a month from now, 2 or 3 months from now, if this coronavirus thing doesn't go away, our supplies are going to be shut off. And look at stores like Harbor Freight or the 99 cent store. They're not going to have any product. So, if you want some stuff from China, you better go buy it now because it may not be there soon.
So I think this is a good time for us to reevaluate our dependency on China.
Exactly.
And maybe we ought to start talking about bringing companies back to the United States and the good old made in the USA. Time to get back to that.
Yeah, I think we had a recent president that actually talked about that and tried, and he gets fought on every step of the way with the tariffs. So it's funny how many Democrats don't understand the concept of what the tariffs are supposed to do. It's not an instant fix, but you just beat them into submission and you get a level playing field, which allows our manufacturers, our steel, to then compete. And it's not an instant process. It could take a couple years, and we're finally starting to win.
Well, and you keep your eyes on this country, China, how they're treating their people, how this coronavirus actually originated and got out. This is a hard communist country, and that is what the Democrats essentially want, the end game. Socialism leads to communism, and I am not going to stand for it. You should not stand for it. All of you veterans who have given an oath, your oath calls you back to duty.
And one of the ways we don't let it happen is keeping the First Amendment and the Second Amendment strong. And, yeah, everybody neglects the First Amendment, but look at Hong Kong. And you notice that is off the pages now. This whole coronavirus has had the effect of stopping those protesters in Hong Kong who all they wanted to be is free. They've been free their whole life, and Britain sold them out to China, and they've lost their freedom.
I cannot tell you how many times just this last week my speech was tried to control my speech in the name of diversity and sensitivity. You can't say that. Oh, and you can't say that, and you can't use that name. And it was so frustrating, and it's just dominance. People are trying to dominate each other. But that is the systematic loss of our First Amendment, and we're accepting it. So I'm encouraging everyone, stand up to that. Don't let people control your speech and just because someone else gets offended.
Okay. We get time for another call if somebody wants to call in at 602-277-5369. Something interesting happened yesterday with Clint Eastwood getting into the news. Supposedly on social media, he is now endorsing Michael Bloomberg, and he's made a statement, but it's unverified, and I am having trouble. Why would he say one thing or the other? Just why would any of these Hollywood people risk alienating half of their audience? It's fine the way it is. Am I going to think second guess myself of going to watch a Brad Pitt movie? Brad Pitt, just shut up. We don't care. Just like what's his name from England said at the Golden Globes. You know, just make movies and dribble.
Right. Well, and this is a good exercise, you guys. I very quickly we saw folks coming out against Clint Eastwood, who has been a supporter for a long time, and hang him. So we don't know for sure. I want to see the words coming out of his mouth. If they come out of his mouth, then I want to know what's his mental state. Is he going through some kind of a break in his thought process? I'm not ready to hang him yet, and we should be thinking about each other. Don't stand down. Don't fight each other. We need to unify. So just let's see what he says.
Well, his son, who is also who's now a very handsome leading man, he has said it's not true. So hopefully we'll hear from Clint today. And that just shows you the amazing power of social media. Within just a few hours, this spread all over the whole country. And President Trump still gets criticized for tweeting, but it's instant. You know, it used to be a big deal with Franklin Roosevelt having a fireside chat, and you had to get up to the radio. Now, President Trump can have 20 fireside chats a day when he tweets.
That's right.
And usually you're upset at first. Oh, my God, why did he say that? But then within a day or two, it makes sense of why he would say that. Even with pardoning those blue-collar criminals, you know, and then it came out that President Obama pardoned about 1,800 people, and he pardoned violent murderers and terrorists, and President Trump just signed, pardoned some people that swindled some people. So make them pay it back and let them go. Get them out there and get into society.
Didn't we trade for terrorists or something?
I
like
believe
that?
We did that too. Yeah.
Didn't we?
Hey, early on in the show, I mentioned something, and I am a media junkie. I'm all over social media and the internet, and I watch TV. And people think I'm weird because I'll have the computer on, I'll have the TV on, and then I'll be surfing my phone all at once. And I think it's perfectly normal to do that. But I had, I believe, A&E on, and I watched this program. And of course, you've got to know how the producers of these shows skew it, but the Moon Church from back in the 80s, and they went away, but I came across a program where the son of the Reverend Moon now has his own Christian church in Pennsylvania, and about 40% of the church's doctrine revolves around the Second Amendment. And it's very fascinating. If you guys want to Google it, write this down and Google Sanctuary Church and the Rod of Iron. So the rod of iron that they're talking about is the AR-15, and you are required to have an AR-15 to be in this church. So yes, they do have some kooky ideals, but on the Second Amendment and protect themselves, they're right on. And it's very amusing, and I'm not by any ways endorsing this church, but I think it's fascinating to see how a church can adapt like this.
Night before Jesus was crucified, they were up in the Mount of Olives, you know, there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus asked them, do you have a sword to protect yourself? And they didn't. And he said, well, get your sword. If you don't have a sword, then sell your shirt, your tunic, and use the money to go and buy one. He was advocating self-defense.
Yeah.
And so people use Christianity as an excuse to say, turn the other cheek, don't, you know. But at the same time, on the other side of that coin, we got to be careful that we're not worshiping stuff that we shouldn't be worshiping. But I understand that the folks are trying to hang on to their rights, and I get it.
Yeah, and just look at the country of Israel, where everybody's required to go into the military. I don't know that they necessarily then have firearms in their home, but they're all trained on them, and at a moment's notice, they can then reorganize. And of course, the main example is Switzerland, where everybody does have a semi-automatic rifle in their home. And has Switzerland ever been invaded?
No.
No, even in World War I, World War II, people leave them alone. So an armed society is a polite society, and it's just not worth it. And that's the way it needs to stay here in the U.S. So, Kelly, we're about out of Second Amendment things to talk about, even though it can come back up. What about what just happened with the sanctuary bill?
So the governor had said in his State of the State address at the beginning of the year that he wanted to see a bill like this, and that Representative Shope was going to be the one to run it and whatnot. And here we are back again about the precarious position we are in. We are at the bare minimum to have the majority in order to pass something out of the House. You need 31 out of 60 votes.
And what this does is this stops sanctuary cities for illegal aliens. Right.
You cannot. I think this is the one that allows somebody to sue, isn't it? For if something happens in a sanctuary city. So they didn't have the votes to get it passed, so they backed off of it.
But along Second Amendment lines, is there's been a push by county sheriffs and counties to have Second Amendment sanctuaries in the whole county, and I hope to bring one of these in also. So pay attention. It's election season. Look at those Bloomberg ads, read through Mark Kelly's ads, and they'll say words like weapons of war. Why do we have them? They're not weapons of war. How come they never use the term weapons of sport? Because that's what they are. And we're up against the break. This is Mayor Jeff Cerdy. We've had Kelly Townsend here. Thanks for listening in. And sitting in for Steve Cates. Thanks, Steve. Have a good time down at the gun show. And keep your powder dry and be free out there, guys.